I speak to you in the name of God. Amen. Today is a battle of big words. The first big word is Schadenfreude. Say it with me. Schadenfreude. Once more. Schadenfreude. Yes, it's German. No, it doesn't mean chocolate torte or leather shorts. Schadenfreude is the experience of pleasure, joy, or self-satisfaction that comes from learning of or witnessing the troubles, failure, or humiliation of another. Schadenfreude. There's too much Schadenfreude loose in America these days. In our political battles, our cultural wars, our attempts to be a society, there's too much cruelty, too much unabashed delight in the misfortunes of those unlike us. We no longer really argue about ideas, but we certainly have positions. We draw portraits of heroes and villains. We have competing visions of the good. But we are most happy to rejoice in our opponent's defeat. Thomas Edsall wrote in the New York Times last week, "The kind of pain we would like to see inflicted on our adversaries varies by ideology, partisanship, and issue." One commentator observed, "Among those who accept the scientific consensus that climate change is occurring and is attributable to natural causes, over one-third agreed that climate change deniers get what they deserve when disasters like hurricanes make landfall where they live." This same commentator goes on to say, "Democrats experience Schadenfreude when individuals do not follow CDC health guidelines and get sick from the coronavirus. In a similar manner, Republicans tend to express Schadenfreude when people lose their job due to businesses following government regulations on the economy during the pandemic." That is Schadenfreude. It's a great word for a terrible impulse. And there's ample evidence that it is spreading. Fox News always talking about owning the libs. CNBC always crowing about the treasonous implications of every utterance from Republicans. Others have noted the increase in cruelty in our society. Not just physical abuse, but verbal and emotional cruelty directed at people different from us. I have no way of knowing whether Schadenfreude inhabits your heart, but it is always lurks at the door. And in this place, this church, this house of God, to remember God's promise and challenge to David we heard this morning, Schadenfreude has no place. To the Ephesians were given these astonishing words, "For he, Christ, is our peace. In his flesh he has made both groups into one and has broken down the dividing wall, that is, the hostility between us." Then in a breathtaking promise of solidarity of all for all, the Ephesians are told, "So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone." These are words we know. They are the words that fuel our fights. They are words that are exactly the issue. Strangers and aliens. The destructive lure of Schadenfreude relies on our ability to throw those others, whoever they may be, into the jailhouse of strangers and aliens. Throughout our history as an American society, that lure has never gone away. It wanders from political party to political party, always feeding on the grievance that somebody is taking away what is ours, always feeding on the hatred of marginalized groups. Anybody who can tap into those grievances can mobilize loud and boisterous hostility. Saddest of all, though, is the evidence that considerable Schadenfreude today is felt and said by those who hold white Christian supremacist beliefs. Maybe not in our corner of the household of God. I think not. But in many rooms of the household, there are people who seem to excise the letter to the Ephesians from their Bibles, or wish they could. If they would listen to the words from this letter, they would hear that they have been made citizens. Another powerful and evocative word in our discourse and our brawling. Citizen means you belong. If you're a citizen, they have to take you in when you come back to the border. If you're a citizen, you have the right to vote. If you're a citizen, you have the right to vote, which should be as free and unrestricted as possible. If you are a citizen, you are in the household. And the gospel of Jesus always points to drawing strangers and aliens into the household, rebranding them as citizens, including them in our community, and seeking common ground. How different from Schadenfreude is Jesus of Nazareth. No rejoicing for him when others have troubles, fail, or are humiliated. No satisfaction in the misfortunes of even those he did not like. In the Gospel of Mark, Jesus went with his disciples to a deserted place to rest a while. But the news got out, and the great crowds hurried on ahead of Jesus and his friends, and they were waiting there when the rabbi arrived. And there they were, sick and in need, like sheep without a shepherd. And here's where our other big word comes in today. You ready? Splachnidzomai. You have to say it with me. Splachnidzomai. Try it again. Splachnidzomai. It's a Greek word, almost as dense as Schadenfreude. But whereas the German word fuels division and hostility, the Greek word brings healing because it means compassion. It literally means you feel it right here. You know, what you feel for somebody, what you feel deeply. Jesus felt in his innards the greatest compassion for the people before him. He did not see them as strangers and aliens. He saw only children of God, members of the household, one new humanity. Is it possible that we can lift ourselves away from the lure of Schadenfreude? Can we stop right now rejoicing in the misfortunes of others? Can we cleanse ourselves, our society, our politics, our aspirations from the need to be happy when others are down? If we cannot, we are in for a bitter and destructive future. It may not be possible to cure the disorder and disease of our civic life simply by imploring the name of Jesus. There are too many people among and around us who don't believe as we do. Nevertheless, let us simply show the world that breaking down the dividing walls is better than erecting them. Breaking down the dividing walls is better than erecting them. Let us stop labeling those we don't like as enemies. Let us reach to the margins not to harm and alienate, but to include and welcome. The household, you see, is very expansive. There is actually no limit to its capacity, the household. If Schadenfreude wins the day, it will consume us. How much better to let Splachnidzomai, compassion, guide our behavior. Compassion is far more worthy of our hearts and souls than taunting. And remember, in Christ, in his flesh, God has broken down the hostility between us. So much better for all. Amen.